The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Big week here on Fantasy Football Today. Sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Today, Jamie and Heath give some early sleepers for 2023. And of course, the NFL draft is coming up, so things could change later this month, but these are good names to have on your sleepers list. Remember, everyone, if you're wondering the difference, sleepers win you weeks, breakouts win you leagues, TM. I'm Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Heath Cummings are here. Good morning, Jamie. What's up?
Let's go, UConn.
Fine. I'd rather lose to the eventual champion. It's going to happen. They're going to beat the snot out of
it. Take me through your emotions of that game.
No.
Why?
Why would I do that? I don't want to do that at all.
I just want to know what you felt like.
Instead of me doing that, here's a better question from our chat. Joshua, would you rather lose on a buzzer beater or get blown out? That is an easy one. Easy one for me. I would much rather get blown out. And I would say Miami did not get blown out. They got thoroughly beaten. But buzzer beater is so much worse. Oh, my gosh. I felt so bad for FAU. They really choked, and they had that game. And I'd much rather just lose. You lose to a better team. That's it. That's it. But to lose on a buzzer beater is just gut-wrenching.
They really choked?
They did choke. What, they have
they at least showed up for the semifinal.
Dude, UConn's
unlike
terrific.
One South Florida team.
No, come on. That's not fair. They got beat by a better team. That's all.
It was a great season, though. Both Florida teams.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we have connections to both teams in some way, shape, or form, and it was pretty cool. As much as it was, gut wrenching for me, a Florida guy, to watch Miami get there, it was fun to see my friends enjoy it. And FAU was obviously, for Heath and I, it's in our backyard, so it was fun to see. I was at an FAU watch party. I don't know what you were doing, Heath, but with a couple of professors and a lot of friends that love and have gone to FAU and root for FAU, and just complete silence, absolute deafening silence when that shot went down.
That's brutal.
I do disagree. I would much rather lose that way than get blown out. FAU proved they belonged.
Oh, will you stop?
Listen, you started it. You're the one who said they choked. I will say
they did
choke. Watched.
They couldn't get a rebound. They should have won that game. They absolutely should have won that game.
I will say I watched much more of the women's national championship game yesterday than I will the men's national championship game tonight.
Any reason why?
I don't care at all about UConn versus San Diego State. Like, if Miami was in it, I would probably watch it just because it'd be cool if you and Dave, if your team won. If FAU was, I'd obviously watch it. I thought the Iowa LSU game was extremely compelling.
I didn't see it, but everybody was talking about it. I wish I had seen that. Anyway, before we get into sleepers.
Well, you can't see me. That's why.
What's that?
He's not going to get it.
Oh. Before we get into sleepers, I would like to recommend a TV show for everybody. Unstable on Netflix. You guys watching that? Rob Lowe?
No.
Very funny. Very good
Is
show.
Is that with him and his kid?
Yes. I recommend it. Okay. We have, Jamie gave me a list of sleepers. Heath separately gave me a list of sleepers. We have three mutual sleepers. I'm going to give you some hints.
I know one already, which is probably fairly easy because we talked about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give the audience some hints. He went in round 8 in our most recent mock draft. I don't think you're going to get it from that. According to Wikipedia, in college, he was noted for his acts of great physical strength, such as helping lift a car to help a fellow student who did not have a car jack change a flat tire. Okay, so he did that in college. Who hasn't? He was drafted in the 4th round of the NFL draft. He holds the NCAA record for the most rushing yards in a single game, 427. And he is on a new team, the 4th of his NFL career.
Deontay Foreman.
No.
Samaje Perine.
Correct. Samaje Perine is a mutual sleeper. Okay, next mutual sleeper went in round 10 of our most recent draft, PPR. He was ejected in the 3rd quarter of week 18. Like anyone would actually remember that. He was drafted in the 3rd round in the NFL draft. In 2022, he had 5 games with 113 or more rushing yards. And he is
Deontay
on
Foreman.
There you go. Deontay Foreman. Two running back mutuals, Samaje Perine and Deontay Foreman. All right, one more. This guy was drafted in round 12 of our most recent draft, just ahead of Donovan Peoples-Jones and Khalil Shakir. He had 42 catches, 425 yards, 3 touchdowns on 67 targets in 2022. He is a friend of Juliet's, and hopefully he will love his new quarterback.
Romeo Dobbs.
Romeo Dobbs. All right, so we have Samaje Perine, Deontay Foreman, and Romeo Dobbs presented to you with beautiful trivia. So Perine did go 2 rounds ahead of Foreman. Perine went to Jamie. I took Foreman. PPR is not exactly a great format for Foreman, but Jamie, talk about those two guys as sleepers, and then Heath, you can follow up.
Well, Perine, I think he's one, and just for what we're doing along with the content on the site, we're doing our sleepers, breakouts, and busts, our first version of that. And so I have the first version of sleepers. Heath, do you have breakouts or busts this week?
I have breakouts.
You have breakouts. Dave has busts. Then we're all flip-flopping in some way, shape, or form over the next 2 weeks. So for me, and you know, I hate doing sleepers in April because something invariably is going to change because of the draft. But Perine, for example, is one of these guys that if we get to August and Javonte Williams is not right, you know, I'm going to get laughed at for calling him a sleeper because he's going to get drafted probably in like the 4th or 5th round if we find out Javonte Williams is missing any significant amount of time. So this is just one of those early situations where, you know, you call somebody, put somebody in a category and, you know, we'll see if he stays there. But in any event, if Javonte Williams is not right, Samaje Perine has a chance to be the lead running back in Denver. They've done a lot to improve their offense already. You know, specifically trying to run the ball. I think Sean Payton is going to try and do that a lot. We talked about that from the owners' meetings wrap up last week. But some of the offensive line moves that they've made, and I think just the personnel that they're going to and the personal groups that they're going to use. But Perine last year had 4 games where he stepped in for Joe Mixon and was a star. And I don't know if he's a star player, but he got a star opportunity, and I think he's going to have that again. For Foreman, I think we had a question about this last week, Adam, in terms of what his production was in the 9 games then when he replaced Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. He had over 800 rushing yards in that 9-game stretch, scored 5 touchdowns, did very well when he had a lot of work, and clearly there's an opening in the Bears' backfield. I think we all hope, probably us, fantasy community, maybe Bears fans, want to see Khalil Herbert step into that role and take advantage of it, but no guarantee that Deontay Foreman isn't the better runner there, maybe not the better complete running back, but I think what you're getting from a cost perspective, I'm looking a lot for this story at the NFFC ADP and the FFPC ADP, best ball-wise, just as a little bit of a gauge. And Foreman is in NFFC. He's 20 picks behind Herbert there. He's like 80 picks behind Herbert in FFPC. You know, it's just there's a big disparity there. So, you know, just looking at the cheaper of the two running backs with the opportunity that if he gets a lot of volume and does the things that he's done in Tennessee and Carolina the last two seasons, he could be a number three running back, better in half and non-PPR than full PPR.
Yeah, I think Foreman probably has the most upside non-PPR over P. Ryan, but P. Ryan, because of his pass-catching ability that we saw last year, because of the Sean Payton offense and how much we've seen them use running backs in the passing game, P. Ryan definitely has more PPR upside. And what the reports are on Javonte Williams will determine whether P. Ryan's a sleeper or not. I do agree he's going to be around 4 or 5 pick if Williams is going to start the year on the pup. But I do think that even if Javonte Williams is like the most optimistic timeline, he's ready for week 1. I still would expect we're going to see double-digit touches per game for Samaje Perine. I still think he'll have the chance to be a flex when Javonte Williams is 100%.
Yeah, and I just want to give the Bears – so let me give you these numbers for the Bears. We go back to the Foreman conversation here. 10 games last year that David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, and Justin Fields played, and none of them left with an injury. Like 10 full games with all three of them. It was 13 carries per game for Montgomery, 8 carries per game for Herbert. And I just want to check. I think it's 10.6 carries per game for Justin Fields. That might sounds a little high, but maybe not, right? No, you know,
no, that
yeah.
sounds about right.
Yeah. So that's 13. What was it? 13 for Montgomery, 10.6 for Fields, and 8 for Herbert. And then, you know, and then 5 yard line and closer in those 10 games, Fields had 10 carries, Herbert had 4, Montgomery had 3. So that actually is bad. That's not a good split, really. Unless, you know, because like Montgomery had 13 carries per game, but he also had some catches, but. That's way too even of a split, I think. What's your concern level, your level of concern for that scenario where nobody can really stand out? Neither Foreman nor Herbert would really stand out, Heath.
Much bigger concern for Herbert than it is for Foreman, because Herbert's being drafted as if he's going to be the top guy in terms of the split. Like Foreman's cost is going to be low enough that I don't really care if he's stuck in a committee. There's upside beyond that committee. There's upside because he's shown the potential to turn 13 carries into 80 yards and a touchdown. If that's what it is, then he's going to be a flex probably, but he's going to be drafted as a flex. So it's not like there's not much risk with Foreman.
Okay. My worry is somewhat similar to Heath's. It's small because again of what the cost is, but I also think that the flip side of that is, as good as Foreman was last year, his best games came when he had 15 or more carries. And I don't know if he's just going to need that much volume because of his lack of work in the passing game, or just going to have to, you know, have these touchdown plunges that may or may not come because of Justin Fields. But I'll go back to what I said, and this is in regard to like DJ Moore, for example. You throw out almost everything with the Bears from a year ago. This is going to be a much better offense. They have a much better passing game coming into the season already because of DJ Moore, because of Justin Fields' maturation. And then whatever they're going to do with all this draft capital, which hopefully, in the case of Foreman and Herbert, is not going to be directed at the running back position, but is invested in the offensive line. And so if you have a better offensive line, plus I also think, you know, the numbers that you gave out, Adam, how many of those games were they probably trailing in where those three guys are playing together? You know, so with the ability to run the ball a little bit more, you know, maybe that is 15 to 16 carries for the lead guy. Maybe it is 8 to 10 carries for the second guy. And maybe it's not Justin Fields having to do as much because some of that was probably him having to run in these crazy wild plays. So, again, I think you just look at a lot of stuff with the Bears from a year ago. If you expect them to be better, I do. I'm sure we all probably agree that they are going to be a different looking team. And that will certainly carry over to the running backs.
All right, let's talk about Romeo Doubs in a little bit with the rest of the wide receivers. We have a couple of things to promote. Vote, vote, vote. Go to sportspodcastgroup.com and vote for us in the fantasy and sports betting category. Thursday is the last day to vote. I need to do a better job on social media pumping this up, but I will. I will make sure you're all out there with the information that you need to vote for us. You have to probably create an account. on sportspodcastgroup.com. It's very easy. It takes less than a minute. And then vote for Fantasy Football Today in the fantasy and sports betting category. Your vote is going to determine who wins this category, so please help us out. The other thing you need to know is today is Monday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Dynasty Tuesday. Heath Cummings is going to be hosting FFT Dynasty at 11 a.m. Eastern. This is a YouTube exclusive stream. It's only on YouTube. All of our shows, by the way, are on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And if you can't find them, it's not, I know it's a little clunky on YouTube. Hit the live tab. So go to youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday and hit the live tab. And that's not going to get you the things that are currently live. It's going to get you all of the archived shows that we did live. So again, that's tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, FFT Dynasty with Heath. What do we have on tomorrow's show, Heath?
Well, we are doing a 2-round Superflex rookie only mock draft this afternoon. And we will be reviewing that mock draft with Dave Richard and Scott Fish.
That is great. I'm wondering, it's a rookie. You said it's Superflex?
Superflex. Rookie only.
Man, I wonder if 4 of the first 5 picks are going to be quarterbacks.
I don't have a pick in the first 5, so I don't have much say in that.
I do.
But I do not believe, I think I would have 2 of my top 5 would be quarterbacks.
Okay.
Maybe a third.
You never know. You could do 10.
I'd be surprised if it's not 3.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think? We have no idea where these guys are going to go. So who do you think, who's your QB1 right now?
It's Stroud, Young, Richardson for me.
Right now, it's Richardson for me, but that's certainly dependent on the situation because he's got the most upside by far. So before he gets to a team, he's the easy choice for me.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have actually pretty decent amount of news items here. Well, not that many, but interesting ones. Interesting news items from around the NFL. And then back into the sleepers. We've talked to you about P. Ryan and Foreman. We'll give you a lot more 4 quarterbacks to keep an eye on and sleepers at each position. No surprise. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, quick news and notes here. Tampa Bay head coach Todd Bowles says he wants Rashad White to be a 3-down back. So you guys did not put Rashad White in your sleepers column or your sleepers notes for today. Heath, is Rashad White, Bucks running back Rashad White, going to end up in the breakouts column?
I would say that his ADP will mean that he has to end up in the breakouts column if he's going to be listed in one of those columns. I don't think he's going to be drafted late enough to be a sleeper. I guess he might get drafted high enough to be a bust. This is encouraging that they'd like for him to be a 3-down back. It's really going to come down to how bad is this offense. Can Baker and or Kyle Trask make it not a terrible offense so that they could have some success on the ground? They weren't very efficient running the ball last year, but there were so many targets from Tom Brady, and I don't know that we can expect that to continue to be the case with the new quarterbacks.
50 catches as a rookie for Rashad White on 58 targets, but yeah, the things will not be the same this year without Tom Brady. All right, Cincinnati Executive Vice President Katie Blackburn. Now, if you just read the transcript, she said Joe Mixon is the guy. He still has a lot of great production in him. If you listen to what she said, I don't know if you two heard the audio, but it was a very tepid endorsement of Joe Mixon. And then this is the executive vice president for the Bengals, Katie Blackburn, who also added that she hopes his legal other, she called them other issues. I think she was referring to his legal issues. They are resolved in a positive way.
What?
Yeah.
What legal issues does he currently have?
He had that incident where someone was shot at on his property.
But he was cleared from all wrongdoing in that.
Is there something else?
It sounds as if they're trying to create a narrative that if they do move on from him, which would be, I think, I don't want to say a smart move from a financial standpoint, but if they find his replacement, which, you know, Bijan, Cincinnati, wouldn't be bad. You know, if they find his replacement, then maybe that's the route that they go. But they save. I think Dave said $10 million. I thought I saw it was closer to $8 million, but I believe Dave said it would be $10 million in cap money, cap space. So don't be surprised if Joe Mixon is on the market anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's what an opportunity for a free agent or a rookie running back to go to Cincinnati.
There's no more free agents.
Yeah, a rookie running back.
And I think they were talking like there may be. Joe Mixon may be a free agent. Dalvin Cook may still be a free agent. There was talk that the Vikings had looked into David Montgomery.
Yeah, I shouldn't say there's no more free agents. Obviously, Kareem Hunt's still out there. Ezekiel Elliott's still out there. There are still names out there. Leonard Fournette is still out there. So they could certainly bring in one of those guys. So I apologize. But get somebody young in there, please. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Bill Belichick did not commit to Mac Jones as the starting quarterback. Tim Patrick, Broncos wide receiver, tore his ACL in the preseason. He has been fully cleared. And the Jets, according to ESPN's Rich Cimini, have promised Mecole Hardman an expanded route tree. And according to ESPN's Dan Graziano, the Jets might be the most likely destination for Odell Beckham.
You see, he wants $15 million a year. Or $15 million for a one-year deal.
I don't buy it. Like, I know that was the report. I'm not just buying it. He's not going to get that. Come on. It's crazy.
You don't buy that he's asking for that? Yeah. Or you don't buy that a team's going to give him that?
Both. I mean, I can't sit here and say that I just don't believe the report, but I am starting to really not believe a lot of reports. I'm sorry. The NFL media, we have to do better. It was not us. These people have to do better. There's so many bad reports out there. So many players who are like, that was never true. And sometimes those players are probably lying, but
players are saying that was never true.
Well, look, I mean, I don't really believe Aaron Rodgers that, you know, he's not the most trustworthy guy, but according
Lamar
to
Jackson
him
too has been saying that things that have been reported about his contract negotiations are not true.
Oh, Lamar Jackson's been adamant that a lot of the things that haven't been reported have been untrue. And also, I feel like the reports on the Lamar Jackson contracts have been very different. So somebody's way off, you know? And I don't know.
Well, this is part of the reason that there's not a lot of accurate reports, because he's representing himself. So if the team is not leaking it, which obviously that would be the only side it's coming from, because he's not leaking it.
Right.
So there's reasons for that. And there's reasons why Aaron Rodgers has been probably lucky enough to remain as private as he has, aside from the things he's liked to share, which seem to be crazy, when you see that it's not stuff that's coming from his camp. And when the insiders who we know, and for the most part, I think respect, can't get to it. You know, that's why he says, lose my number.
Exactly. Well, that's
would you
saying.
Say that Aaron Rodgers has done a good job keeping everyone in the dark?
But I'm home.
Yeah. But then again, like Aaron Rodgers basically said, oh, the Packers made it seem, the Packers were telling him that they wanted to move on from him. And then the Packers front office is like, well, actually, we tried to reach out to Aaron Rodgers and he didn't pick up. So I don't really know what to believe over there, but a lot of
I can go on a very big tangent on this, but I won't.
Okay. A lot of inaccurate information is my point. If Odell Beckham thinks he's getting a one-year $15 million deal, then he's got problems. Okay. Let's go to some sleepers here. Jamie, you know, we can kind of go fast on these because we talked about them last week with Samantha, but round 14 in our draft, Jared Goff and Geno Smith both went. They are two sleepers that you're going to talk about here. Who do you like better, Goff or Smith?
I'll go back to what I said then. I feel a little bit more comfortable with Goff right now just because of the potential of the Seahawks to draft a quarterback at 5. we get past the NFL draft, I'll probably feel a little bit more comfortable with Smith, who had the better season. Fantasy-wise, it was slightly different in terms of the points. But I do think that we could see the Lions, if they continue to do what they do, a little bit more of the rushing touchdowns going away from Jared Goff. It was 10 of the 17 touchdowns, I think it was. Jamal Williams scored inside the 4-yard line. Maybe it was more than that, 14.
Why don't you just use my stat? You know my stats better. 8 completions down to the 1-yard line. Only one of them followed up by a Jared Goff touchdown.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the points per game. Geno Smith was QB8 with 21.4. Jared Goff was QB13. Sorry about all that.
I'm at 14.
He was 15 technically, but that was with Davis Webb and Sam Howell. Whatever, right around 13, 14. So Geno was better. Geno also rushed for 366 yards. A little underrated what he did with his legs. Heath, who do you like better, Geno Smith or Jared Goff?
Oh, boy. I think I have both of those guys back to back. I would lean ever so slightly towards Geno.
And Heath, one of your quarterback sleepers is Trey Lance. Would you take Trey Lance ahead of those two?
I sure would have a month ago. Now I think that the thing is, like, obviously not in a 2-quarterback league. Those guys are so much more valuable than Lance in a 2-quarterback league where the quarterback's floor matters. In a 1-quarterback league, after 10, 12, 13, 14 quarterbacks have been taken, I'm probably still more likely to draft Trey Lance than I am Goff or Geno Smith, because I think what we saw out of Geno Smith is probably the ceiling for both of these guys last year. You're hoping you find somebody that sneaks in to the top 10 quarterbacks. With Trey Lance, the hope is the same thing that is with Anthony Richardson. It's that, oh my gosh, what if this guy gets to run the ball 10 times a game and plays 17 games? And for Lance specifically, has Kyle Shanahan, who any quarterback can roll out of bed and average 8 yards per pass attempt. There's still QB1 overall upside for Lance, even if there is no more floor than there is for Richardson.
If you were somebody like a lot of us, me in particular, I don't know if I was ahead of the pack or anything, but I was so excited about Trey Lance. He was probably my most drafted quarterback last year. Is there really any reason to get off of that? I mean, in a 2QB league, obviously we don't know that he's going to keep the job, but let's just say they said, okay, Trey Lance is our starter.
We don't know that Trey Lance is going to start week 1.
Right. In a world where he is the starter, though, nothing has happened. I know he wasn't good in week 1. The weather was terrible against the Bears, but nothing has really happened to make us feel differently about Trey Lance than what we felt last year, other than the Purdy thing.
I think something pretty big has happened.
No, if you took away the Purdy thing, there's no... Well, no, I understand you have to factor that in, but there's no performance. There's no other reason not to like Trey Lance, right? If you liked Lance...
Took away the guy that stole his job, then sure.
I think there is a little bit in that, like, part of what was wrong with Trey Lance was that he'd played... What, going into last year, like 6 football games in the last 3 years, and now it's 7 football games in the last 4 years or something?
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge, I think it's a huge difference in evaluating him versus anybody else. So, like, his lack of experience and the extended distance between the last time, like, he was a full-time football player is concerning.
Okay. Heath, thank you for understanding my question. I appreciate that. Jamie, let's take a look at your other sleeper running backs. We had Samaje Perine and Deontay Foreman on that list. And A.J. Dillon is an interesting one. He went in round 9 after Samaje Perine in our most recent draft. Then we'll talk about the Dolphins running backs. You have both of them, Wilson and Mostert. How would you rank those three? Dillon, Wilson, Mostert.
In that order.
Okay, so how confident are you in A.J. Dillon right now going into 2023?
I'm much more confident at his current cost than what he was going at last year, which was unfortunately not a player that lived up to that expectation. Now, he finished the season strong. A lot of it was touchdown dependent. But, you know, we had expectations for him to, I don't know, take over for Aaron Jones, but make it more of a split than it was. And, you know, it just never materialized, especially how this offense played. You know, it was a very low scoring offense, which wasn't the thought going into the season last year. So he's a post hype sleeper. You know, I think you just look at the expectations last year were probably unrealistic with Aaron Jones staying healthy, and now you have Jones back, but a quarterback change coming most likely. And so I think just based on the cost, he's still going to have an opportunity to get double digits in carries. You look at this receiving core. There's a video that's been circulating of Jordan Love throwing to Aaron Jones. I wonder just how much more he'll be involved in the passing game and maybe lose a few more carries to A.J. Dillon. And I still think this offensive line is good enough that they can support a strong running game. And I probably expect them to run the ball a little bit more with an inexperienced quarterback taking over for a two-time MVP. So I think Dillon, his ADP is around, you know, 90th overall. It's a good gamble. And again, he's in that same lottery ticket vein of if something happens to Aaron Jones, he could be a superstar. So I like the opportunity based on where he's being drafted right now to take a flyer on him, much more so than where it was last year.
Yeah, it's interesting because it was actually, I think, a fairly even split. They both played 17 games. Jones had 213 carries. Dillon had 186. But I just, why did they keep going to A.J. Dillon? He was not even close to as good as Aaron Jones. Jones averaged 5.3 yards per carry. Dillon averaged 4.1 yards per carry. That is a huge difference. And Jones has proven year after year to be one of the best running backs, I think, in football. I mean, he's just awesome.
I think that's why they brought him back.
Yeah, he's terrific. Dillon, though, I mean, 186 carries in 17 games. That's what? That's 11 per game. And not a ton of catches. He had 28 catches. You're right, Jamie. He scored 6 touchdowns in his last 6 games.
11 of his 28 catches, though, came in that stretch when he was scoring touchdowns, too. So a little bit more involved in the passing game. Take out the last 2 games. You want to Azer stat, it's certainly week 18 where he was terrible.
He was, yeah.
His targets and his reception totals were the best stretch of the season.
I mean, what a great ADP, 90th overall for Dillon. Because if Jones gets hurt, it could be just huge production.
I can give you the exact ADP on the two sites. It is 96th on NFFC, 99.6 on FFPC. And last year, his CBS ADP was 62.
62, yeah. And I don't think I was waiting that long. I was pretty excited about him.
Same.
He just didn't really do that well. That was the problem. You know, I thought he would perform better than he did. Heath has left the building. We'll get him back. Jeff Wilson and Raheem.
Best internet in South Florida is not working again.
Do you guys have the same internet service provider? Like, I'd love to know.
I think we use Xfinity. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you don't know what you have at your house, or you don't know what Heath has?
I don't know what Heath has. I have Xfinity.
Okay, we'll have to find out. Like same zip code, basically, same internet.
We are literally about 2 miles away from each other.
Have you ever been to each other's houses?
Never inside. He's picked me up at my house to take me to work one day when I had a car problem, and I dropped off for the draftathon a bag full of Snickers at his house.
Very good, very good. All right, let's talk about the Dolphins running backs here. Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. I'll get my stats on the splits there. It was really a lot of Jeff Wilson. I think he's...
4 of the 6 games they were healthy, Wilson played more snaps. Maybe 5 and 7.
So in the last 3 games after Wilson came back from injury, he had 40 carries. Mostert had 28. He was really their guy. I think people are definitely sleeping on him. And that's why he's in the sleepers column, Jamie. What do you expect from Jeff Wilson?
So he's younger. Mostert will be 31 on Sunday. Just looked up his birthday, April 9th. Happy birthday, early Raheem Mostert. Mm-hmm. Happy early birthday, Raheem Mostert. Wilson's 27. But I think you just look at, like you said, you know, it felt as if when they were both together following the trade that Wilson was the priority for Mike McDaniels. Now, who knows how healthy either guy was down the stretch because they both were battling injuries. But to me, it feels like Jeff Wilson is a little bit safer at this point. They probably are going to split carries no matter what happens. But it's just an easy situation to take a flyer on both. Now, again, their ADP on both sites here is, I don't think, reflective of where it will be. They're both past 150th overall. So that just doesn't seem realistic. However, I do think that we're going to get them probably after pick 100. Unless one gets some significant pub over the other in training camp. And so for right now, I think they're just easy guys to take flyers on. Whether you prefer one or the other, just to see what happens as your fourth running back. And if one takes the advantage of the situation, the fact that they're both together and doesn't seem like Mike McDaniel wants to draft a running back, especially they brought back Miles Gaskin as well. So I would expect it to be the Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert show again to open season.
And Heath, how do you see it between Wilson and Mostert?
Flip a coin. Will probably be different over 1 month of the season than it will in a different month of the season. They're both right around RB 30 to 35 for me. I like them in the round 8 range. I'm very content to just take the one that goes second.
Okay. I'm going to get into this with you. Let's do this. First of all, what is your internet service provider?
This was not an internet issue. The strangest thing has happened during this podcast 4 times now. As I've been talking or listening, my mic and headphone settings have changed in the middle of the show.
Really?
To where I could not hear you anymore, or you could not hear me when I talked.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, apologies to your ISP.
That's why I didn't say them.
Okay. So week 9 was Jeff Wilson's first game with the Dolphins. Mostert had been there all year. Edmonds is gone at this point. They play the same amount of snaps. The first game, Jeff Wilson actually played one more snap. The second game against Cleveland, Wilson plays 61% of the snaps, has 17 carries.
Mostert got hurt.
Damn it. I have to adjust my argument then. Well, never mind. I did think, though, that I really did feel like it was more of Jeff Wilson's back. Like, he was more of a 65-35 split. It seems like it's a lot more even, and I think Wilson's ahead. I think Jamie does, too.
Yeah, I think that, like Jamie alluded to, it's really hard to look at the second half of the Dolphins season and take very much away from their running back usage because one of Mostert or Wilson was hurt. And that will probably be the case this year. That's been the case for most of their career. That's why I think that they're both fine guys. I don't want to bet on which one of the guys is going to miss the most games due to injury. But I think whenever one of them's out or dinged up, the other one is going to be a starting fantasy running back. And they're both going to be flexes when they're both healthy.
When you draft either one, you draft them with the idea of lottery ticket. You know, draft them with the idea of if the potential injury does happen to the other one, that's the time you completely feel comfortable using them. But maybe you do get a little bit of separation between the two, and then you could feel flex, but it could flip on a dime, you know, in the middle of a game, however these guys are being used. I just think that I'll lean toward youth. They both have a history with the coach, you know, so there's no real like, okay, this guy's got, you know, more of a rapport, familiarity. You know, I think it's just a matter of, you know, just draft them, stash them. They could be guys you end up cutting at some point during the season, but this is why we're talking about them in this category.
Okay. Let's talk about Jamie's wide receivers here. I'm going to read. There are 6 names here. And in the most recent draft we did a couple weeks ago, they all went in round 8 or later, except for Kadarius Toney, who was the last pick of round 7. So if we consider him a round 8 pick, they all went in round 8 or later. Most of them in rounds 8 to 9, basically. And then a couple were a little later than that. They are Gabe Davis, KJ Osborne, Nico Collins, who went 1 pick after Osborne, Romeo Doubs, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore. In the order they were drafted, I guess I should do it that way. Kadarius Toney, Gabe Davis, KJ Osborne, Nico Collins, Sky Moore, Romeo Doubs. 6 names there, Heath. Do you disagree with any of them?
It's always hard to say you disagree with sleepers because they should have flaws or they wouldn't be getting drafted where they are. I disagree that if Toney stays healthy, he will be eligible to be a sleeper. I think he's going to be a round 6, round 7 type pick. My 2 favorites from that list are Doubs, obviously. He was already on my list as a sleeper, and Gabe Davis. Those are my 2 favorites.
So why Doubs? Why do you guys like him so much? Heath, I'll give you the first word. As a sleeper.
I mean, he made some really fantastic plays as a rookie. The coaching staff's talking him up, talking about how he can run every route in the route tree. He's a second-year wide receiver. You know the research on second-year wide receivers and how good they are at them.
Well, not all of them.
Not all of them. I think he might even be more complete than Christian Watson is. He's just not quite as exciting or explosive.
Yeah.
And right now, it's just the 2 of them.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, Could you see yourself taking Nico Collins off of this list? The Texans add anything significant at wide receiver?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I agree with Heath. The way that I wrote it, I actually led the column with the Chiefs guys. And so, you know, I said I'm sort of cheating a little bit here with Kadarius Toney. But his ADP is in the range of like some of the running backs we were just talking about in the mid 90s. So I think the thing about Nico Collins and Romeo Doubs and, you know, now KJ Osborne, it's opportunity, you know. And, you know, Collins hasn't lived up to some of the hype, but you look at this receiving core and, you know, you could say Mechie is the one you want to target. You could say that the rookie that they're about to draft is the one you want to target. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be that's going to impact it. But, you know, Collins has that big play ability. And if the right quarterback is there, I think that could, you know, open it up. He's going to be one of their starting receivers. You know, I don't think they're drafting, you know, two or three guys and they're going to go with, you know, let's just say Mechie and two other players there. So I just like the situation. He's got to stay healthy, but he's somebody that you can get in the double digit rounds and I think has the chance to, you know, exceed that.
You know what I like about this list is when you take, I think AJ Dillon, Wilson and Mostert, Gabe Davis, these are guys that if they just do what they did last year, they'll hit their ADP basically, right? I mean, they performed like ninth round picks last year. That's pretty much where they're going. Davis went in round eight. So if, and they have upside for more, they could always get better. So, I mean, you know, there's some sleepers like guy like Nico Collins, obviously didn't perform like a eighth or ninth round pick, and Doubs didn't, you know, didn't do much, but I do love a guy like Gabe Davis. I mean, he wasn't that good last year, but he still was probably worth an eighth or a ninth round pick, wouldn't you say? So just get a little better. And I think Josh Allen's elbow really affected him.
The ankle injury early. I think, you know, you look at him and Dillon, you know, I put them in the same category, post-type sleepers, you know, so there was just so much was expected of them last year and they flopped. You know, that's really the only way to put it, you know, because for the majority of the season, both were healthy. Again, Davis played through an ankle injury or foot injury, whatever it was that he was bothered by to start the season. And, you know, you sort of alluded to this, that right before Allen's elbow injury, his targets were up, his production was up, and then, you know, Allen just couldn't throw the ball down the field. So I think the fact that, you know, there wasn't a significant investment, at least as of now, in the receiving core, you just look at the opportunity for him to still be that big play threat that we were hoping he could be, and maybe now he stays a little bit more consistent. But you're attaching yourself to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Dillon, you're attaching yourself to A, you know, an offense that should run the ball, but B, as Heath said, which I agree, you know, you're an Aaron Jones injury away from him being, you know, a must-start option. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, the things that I try to do with a lot of the players on this list is opportunity, probably not going to lose jobs in the draft. You know, there's a lot of different players we could talk about as sleepers, but you could see them getting replaced easily, you know, and so it's trying to at least get ahead of that now. And then the other part of it is, you know, offenses that they're in. You know, it's always a good situation to look at, like KJ Osborne. We don't necessarily think the Vikings are the best offense in the NFL, but they're still pretty good. And he's going to replace Adam Thielen and should see a big bump in production and hopefully opportunity as well. And I like the situation for him.
All right. Before we take our final break and get to Heath's sleepers, early sleepers, Jamie, give me the two tight ends you have. You have Juwan Johnson and Trey McBride. Both were late round picks in the draft we did 2 weeks ago. Is that the order that you'd rank them? Juwan Johnson, Trey McBride?
No, Johnson first, McBride second. But, you know, Johnson as the tight end for Derek Carr, I think we saw last year, you know, he was very good at finding the end zone. But I think he's going to show a little bit more as a receiver. You got a little bit of buzz of that at the owners meetings. And then McBride, I mean, you know, this is a team that a lot of opportunity potential. If there is no DeAndre Hopkins there and no Zach Ertz there. And so, you know, second year tight end, I think he could take a step forward. He was certainly in the type of player coming into the draft that we were hoping could get an opportunity and, you know, didn't take advantage of it last year, but we'll see who the quarterback is, a healthy Kyler Murray maybe at some point during the season, but really what this receiving core may look like.
Who's your number one? Well, who do you like better, McBride or Dulcich? Dulcich is on Heath's list.
Yeah, Dulcich is a breakout for me. So I would put him in a different category. It's always tough with these young tight ends because they haven't done anything yet. So, you know, you can really say sleeper because of where they're being drafted. You know, Dulcich was like right around tight end 10, you know, so to me, I think that's more of a breakout. But no problem calling him sleeper. Same thing with Okonkwo. You know, I think those two guys, for me, when I write breakouts, that's, those would be my two breakout tight ends.
Heath, who's your favorite, I guess, year two tight end?
It would be Dulcich.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if Zach Ertz were actually cut, then it would be probably McBride. They'd be right in the same range.
We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Quick break on Fantasy Football Today. Finish up with Heath's sleepers. We've talked about some of them. We'll talk about some more right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, remember to please go vote for us, sportspodcastgroup.com. If you just have a minute, please create an account and vote for us in the fantasy and sports betting category. Vote for Fantasy Football Today. That's our show, just in case you were confused. And remember to listen or on YouTube, sorry, to watch the Dynasty show, the Dynasty episode on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can watch it live, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. If you miss it live, just go to youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday and hit that live tab and you'll see all of our shows archived there. Okay, Heath, Trey Lance was one of your sleepers. We talked about him. Sam Howell, that's got to be a 2QB league sleeper.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has the chance to sneak into the borderline QB1 range if everything goes well. His receiving core with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson's about as good as it gets. He's got a new offensive coordinator who has been behind the best offense in football for the last 5 years. And he showed us in college some rushing ability. And so if he could run for 400, 500 yards, if he could run for 6 touchdowns, have maybe a Dak-type rushing production, and then just be adequate as a passer, he could be very exciting.
Okay. So how would you rank Howell, Sam Howell, Jordan Love, and whichever rookie quarterback goes to the Panthers?
I would guess the rookies will be ahead of Howell. Howell will be ahead of Love for me.
Howell ahead of Love. So that will not be typical of drafts, at least not now.
Well, I don't think either one of these guys are going to get drafted in the top 20 quarterbacks, so I don't know that there's going to be a lot of typical.
So talk to Chris Towers about that, because 2 weeks ago he drafted Jordan Love in the 13th round. He took Jordan Love ahead of Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson, Geno Smith.
I do not believe that is going to be
Jared Goff.
I do not think you should use one March draft to determine what's going to be typical.
No, but I think there's, if I did a Twitter poll right now, who would you rather have, Jordan Love or Sam Howell? I think Love would get about 80% of the vote, if not more.
He might.
I'm just saying that's what I think the general public will be on.
I would definitely take Jordan Love and the potential of what he can be over Sam Howell personally, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Love goes ahead of, and this, I actually struggle with this ranking it, you know, of Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think he will. I mean, I would take him ahead of Garoppolo. I wouldn't take him ahead of Carr though. How about you guys?
I've got Garoppolo ahead of Carr. So,
I mean, I just cannot see Garoppolo ever turning in a truly impactful fantasy season.
This window is still open for Derek Carr.
This is a one QB.
It still might happen for Derek Carr.
He's been better than Garoppolo. This is a one QB league discussion. I think a two QB league is different. You know, you want some floor, but I don't think Garoppolo has any upside, really. Do you?
I think
Garoppolo has any upside.
I don't think he does.
He has the same top 15 upside that Carr has.
Yeah. Carr is better than Garoppolo.
I know that you feel that way.
Everybody feels
you're
that
a
way.
Big Derek Carr guy.
How do you rank those three, Jamie, as of right now? Love Carr, Garoppolo.
Carr, Garoppolo, love. But it's like, I think that is back to back to back.
Okay.
But if I was drafting for upside, I would take Love over all three, over the other two.
All right. Running backs for Heath were Foreman and Pirine. Wide receivers for Heath were Dobbs. And how this is a good one, Juju Smith-Schuster. He went in the same range as Gabe Davis and Kadarius Toney and just before KJ Osborne, Nico Collins. Round 8, Juju Smith-Schuster. All right, why is he a sleeper for you?
I just expect that he's basically going to take over the Jacoby Myers role, which is going to be close to 120 targets. And I think he's shown an ability in the past to do more with targets than Jacoby Myers does. Now, we don't know for sure that he'll do that in this season, but I think there's some upside that he could take 120 targets, be a little bit more efficient than Myers was, and score on a considerably higher rate than Myers did, and be a high-end number three wide receiver.
Juju went one pick before Gabe Davis. Thoughts?
I mean, obviously Davis has more upside, but you know, it's just a matter of what the floor is. The floor is obviously in Juju's favor in PPR by a lot.
Yeah, I prefer Juju in PPR.
Okay. And then tight ends, Irv Smith did not get drafted, and Greg Dulcich, who was a round 12 pick and had 411 yards and 2 touchdowns in 10 games last year. 41 yards per game for a rookie tight end is not bad. You just talked about Dulcich. What do you want to say about Irv Smith?
He's playing with Joe Burrow now, and Hayden Hurst saw some spikes despite the fact that he had one of the least efficient seasons we've seen from a tight end. If Irv Smith could just stay healthy and deliver on a little bit of his athleticism on the same volume that Hayden Hurst got last year, or if Irv Smith could just match his career efficiency on the same volume Hayden Hurst saw last year, he's going to be a borderline top 12 tight end.
And Dulcich, getting back to Greg Dulcich here, do you think, because Jamie's going to put him in a breakouts column, well, I don't know if he's going to write the column, but he's going to have him as a breakout. What do you think, Heath, that Greg Dulcich's ceiling is this year?
Top 5 tight end.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at our draft here. Try to find that great sleeper that nobody's talking about. Oh, well, I already said Deshaun Watson is extremely underdrafted. Good pick by Jamie in round 10. Who else? Kareem Hunt, that's a good pick in round 12.
I'm really nervous about him. It's not a good sign to get this far into free agency as a back at his age and not have a job yet.
Okay, I would feel the same if there were another few guys out there in similar standing.
Like Russell Wilson around 13. It's so easy to come up with sleeper quarterbacks. Okay. All right, I'm done.
Like Miami.
We don't have, you know what? It's not appropriate. And I told Jamie this off the air, but I had a lucky shirt during the Final Four run. I wore it for every game, all but one. It was the shirt Jamie gave me when he was like 12 years old.
No.
How old were you in 1990?
In 1990, I was 14.
Okay, he was 14 years old, and he gave that shirt to me 10 years ago or so, and I've been wearing it ever since. It fits me perfectly, and that was my lucky shirt. It didn't work for me on Saturday.
Did you tear it up or throw it away or burn it or anything?
No. We won a lot of games with that shirt on. You know, it's a good shirt. I had a sweatshirt on over it. That might have been my problem. I will have you know, though, since you didn't ask. I went to a sports bar to watch the end of the FAU game and the first half of the Miami game with a friend. And
your new friend?
A new friend. Oh, no, not that guy. Different new friend. And I ate so much. I ate pizza at home before I left, and I ate steak quesadillas, then I ate barbecue chicken flatbread, and then I ate a piece of chocolate cake. I was so sick yesterday. I could not move from the couch. I felt very old. I would have been able to get away with that even 5 years ago.
So did you have a food hangover?
No, I was really nauseous the whole day. Yesterday I ate 2 strawberries and a little pack of raisins. That's all I could stomach the entire day. I was so sick. I was on the couch almost the entire day. So it was not a great weekend for me.
But I'm back, baby. All right. And it's baseball season, so that's cool, too. All right. That's it for today's show. Thank you to our producer, Zach Brook, to Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Adam Azer. Dynasty show tomorrow, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Be there at 11 a.m. Eastern to catch it live or watch it on all of our shows. Watch it archived, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Goodbye.
Definitely would hang over. It's great.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.